/ Gutierrez, Louis Jacques, and Barnwell. Welcome to the re-renaissance. Where you been? We've given you food and art and beauty and sports television hosts, and now we give you quarterbacks and agents. Giant by birth, Italian by the grace of God. Also, the Dolphins, are they who you thought they were? Question mark? Let's go around the horn.
Thank you, Italy. Is that what you want?
Yes, You're welcome. We'll get to that in a second. Did the Titans win it or Dolphins blow it? It was a 14-point game with under 3 minutes left at home. Teams with a 14-point lead with 3 minutes left had won 767 straight games. Today, they are 767-1. I don't need to say any more. Marcel Louis-Jacques, you were there. How bad a loss for the Miami Dolphins?
Whew. I mean, where do we begin, Tony? Yeah, it was a bad loss. And it's not just because it's to the 4-8, now 5-8 Titans. This is the NFL. We see upsets like this every week. It's bad because you're up 14 with 2.5 minutes left at home. If you have Super Bowl aspirations, this is not a game that you should lose. And look, injuries add context, right? Tyreek Hill played 45% of the snaps last night. They were down 4 of their 5 starting offensive linemen. They were down both of their safeties and middle linebacker. Might explain why DeAndre Hopkins was so open on that 26-second go-ahead drive. They still had 5 red zone trips, Tony, and they scored 2 touchdowns. Right. That is inexcusable. For the number one red zone offense in the NFL, you cannot do that. You won't win games. Now, the sky's not falling. They still have a shot at the 1 seed in the AFC. They still have a shot at a clinch scenario in the AFC East by week 16. But, man, this was a game that you had to win.
Bill Barnwell, to you.
This was a disqualifying defeat for me for the Miami Dolphins. I can't take them seriously after this loss. Wow. They were handed 21 points on a silver platter. They get a pick 6 on a screen pass, 2 fumbles inside the red zone for the Miami Dolphins from Tennessee handing them the football. Well, that's happened before. 2 short drives inside the red zone and a defensive touchdown. Teams were 16-0. They had won by an average of 17 points per game. The Dolphins lost. And Marcel mentioned the injuries, and they're meaningful and real. But Tennessee was without Jeffrey Simmons, their best player. And the Dolphins still didn't trust they could run the ball in short yardage in the red zone. Just a brutal performance from the Miami Dolphins when they could have taken control of the AFC.
Give me the headline again. A disqualifying loss, you say, about this team. A team that, well, the boogaboo was they couldn't beat winning teams. This was a losing team that they couldn't beat at home. Israel Gutierrez, I go to you now in Miami.
Classic around the horn question and a rare answer where the team, meaning the Tennessee Titans, both gave the game away and won it. Because about the only good thing the Dolphins did on this day was jump on loose balls, jump on fumbles. Because if they didn't recover those 2 fumbles or if the Titans didn't fumble those balls, this would have been a Titans blowout. And so, yes, you talk about other teams not having injuries, but yeah, the Titans maybe could prepare for this. When you have your most important player and arguably the most valuable player in the league leave the game, you know, during the game and you don't know when you're going to get him back, then you're whole strategy changes. And then when people act sort of uncharacteristic, like whether it be Mike McDaniel kicking that field goal and fourth and goal at the 2, when normally all season long he's been going for that, even though he's only to tie the game. You've got Bradley Chubb, who had Will Levis under wraps and then let him go and then compounded the problem by slamming his helmet and getting a 15-yard penalty. Uncharacteristic. But you also just have to give the other team credit. Will Levis, with his giant veins, escaped that tackle and made a bunch of plays. And he had a lot more time behind that offensive line than Tua did, because Tua had 4 offensive linemen out of the game by the end of it. So, yeah, it's one of those games for the Dolphins, but not a disqualifying game. This is what they look like when all of those things happen to them. This is not what they look like when they're closer to full strength.
Will Levis and his giant veins? That's what you're going with? Okay.
Have you seen them?
Is that another word for onions? Or okay. Bill Plaschke, to you.
Tony, I'm getting pounded here. Can I defer my points to buy and sell? Can I defer all my points to buy or sell?
We're going to get to Otani in a second.
You didn't get the joke.
I get the joke. No. All right.
I'm surprised we went all around the horn and nobody yet has criticized Mike McDaniel. I thought he had a terrible game. He was out-coached by Vrabel, especially in the red zone. And in the last two times they had the ball, they're holding on to a six-point lead, and they run the ball twice, and two of scrambles and gets tackled. Then the last time, in the last drive, a potential game-winning drive, there was no sense of urgency. There was no sense of intensity. There was no, and they threw five short passes, and then Tua got sacked. Mm-hmm. McDaniel needs to be better later in games. They need to have some more pointed practices. It's not working. He's not working late in games, and I question how far they can go with him as their head coach right now.
There may be a question of any team in the AFC you believe at this moment, but the reality is this Dolphins team, without Tyreek Hill for half the game yesterday, and they look like a different team. Tyreek Hill did talk about that ankle sprain, the pain he was in, and a text he received from his wife that motivated him to get back into the game. I want you to listen to this.
Text my wife, I was like, bro, like, it hurt. Like, she was like, you better get your back in that game, dog.
Marcel, whether going back in was the right decision for Tyreek Hill and whether this lingers, what are you hearing today?
Well, if we know anything about Tyreek Hill, he's going to play through injuries, and he's got this Wolverine-like healing quality where I would be pretty surprised if he missed next week's game against the New York Jets. I said it during the game, though, that considering they didn't rule him out, he was probably behind glass, break if an emergency situation. They found an emergency struggling against the Titans, so he had to play. Look, this is your team captain. This is probably the best player in the league this season. If he can run, if he says he can cut and he can go, you trust him to go play, and that he's not going to put himself in a worse scenario. As far as any AFC teams go, though, it has to be Baltimore, I guess, because even through their struggles against the Rams, they still found a way to win. But the parity in this conference is probably at an all-time high right now. There is no bona fide favorite.
And Israel Gutierrez on Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek has been playing through a bunch of minor injuries this year, and he said he's going to have a career year. He announced his 2000, and when he ran off the field at that quick sprint after popping up, that's when you knew, hey, this was not that serious. He's going to overcome whatever it is, and he's still on pace for his 2000 yards, so there's no doubt in my mind he's playing next week.
Oh, there's our horn. Any other news from last night? Any other game that had a certain cultural excellence? No, not the Heat. Let's talk about the Giants. 24, Packers 22. A very normal game fueled by cultural excellence. The passing paisan, Tommy DeVito, and all the DeVitos, because when you're sitting in that box, your family, carrying a team like we've never seen before in history. Well, maybe we have seen three wins in a row before. But for a Jersey guy at the stadium he won a state championship in at Don Bosco Prep, to have this last-minute drive to win the game, maybe stretch the season out a little bit more, it's a perfectly breaded cutlet, Barnwell. What do the Giants have here with Tommy DeVito?
They got a local hero. You saw before the game, they were handing out chicken cutlet heroes. They were handing out veal parm heroes. The only hero on the field was Tommy DeVito.
Oh, very I give nice, a lot of credit, Bill.
Not just to Tommy DeVito, but also realistically to Brian Daboll and that coaching staff. This team was 2-8. They were down to their third string quarterback who nobody had ever heard of. It would have been so easy to tank, to give in, to try and get one of those top two picks, to give up on the season. And instead, Brian Daboll and company have coached this team to three straight victories. They're playing tough. And even if DeVito's not the guy in the long term, a lot of their young players looked very promising yesterday. Guys like Deontay Banks played really well. There's a lot to like about the future, whether it involves the passing paisan or not in 2024 and beyond.
It's like romance when I hear it like that. It's like a beautiful opera. Bill Plaschke, how about you?
DeVito was great, but I focus more on Jordan Love, and he wasn't so great. I think the Packers have to maybe worry about him. He's not as advanced as they thought he was. On down, second through fourth downs, he was 12 for 25. He was terrible most of the game. The Packers have lost four games in which they've led this year. That's tied for the league lead. And Jordan Love, in a game that they really needed him, he didn't show up.
He did have the last possession drive that gave the Packers the lead, didn't he?
But they shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. He missed so many balls. He was late on balls. He was very disappointing.
Israel Gutierrez?
I'm not going to lie, Tony. Watching two Monday Night Football games at the same time, kind of difficult. Fortunately, Coming to America predicted this finish like 30-some years ago, so we already knew what happened when the Giants won this game. So what they have here is a quarterback who, if you saw in the first half, took care of the game, and then you saw in the second half, he went out and won the game. And that's sort of what you have to do when you're out, when you're down to your backup quarterback, when your best weapon's a running back who's not going to blow open the game. And he did exactly that. And the thing, the most amazing thing that he's doing is, as Bill mentioned, turning the, you know, the storyline, if you will, can't use that other word, of this team around like that, like so severe. We were talking about the Daniel Jones contract and talking about the coach, and maybe he should be on the hot seat after getting coach of the year. Now you realize you're bringing all this fun into it. You're bringing, you know, potential playoff situations into it. It's an entire turnaround for this team, and it's because of one guy.
Yeah, you see, there you go. Marcel Louis-Jacques. What do the Giants have here in Tommy DeVito?
They've got a cultural hero, a local icon, somebody who is going to sell tickets from the New Jersey crowd. What I've appreciated about Tommy DeVito is a couple things. One, he's taking care of the ball. He's not putting it in harm's way. 8-3 turnover, or excuse me, touchdown to interception ratio in six games. Was a little worried about the hits he was taking. 28 sacks in six games, but zero last night. He was quick. He was decisive with the ball. His placement was on point. He was quick to run. I think they might have something.
The word agent was trending for hours last night. Let's go here. His name is Sean Stellato, and we're not here for any of this slimy talk. That's regressive, not even funny. I heard someone say, this is an act. This is the induction to the National Italian American Hall of Fame here. This guy's legit. And who's gonna get on a guy for looking good? We call it la bella figura, right? This was just amazing to see. As for this graphic, my very own network put out, I feel bad, but those cutlets look like garbage. Those aren't even cutlets. What's next? Egg noodles and ketchup when I order spaghetti and marinara? Come on, ESPN. Get up to our level. And here's the thing, all right? We contain multitudes as Italian Americans, right?
Around the Horn is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Freestyle Libre. And AutoZone. Get in the zone.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
The Shohei Ohtani deferred money. When the report came out, I thought this was a joke, right? The Athletic's Fabian Ardea and Evan Drellich broke it. It defies all expectation and precedence, except for maybe Bobby Bonilla, but this is a whole nother level. $680 million deferred, paid out from 2034 to 2043. Reportedly, Ohtani's idea. In the 20 hours since this came out, MLB has not come out to say this is illegal. Just the opposite. It's very clear this is very legal. The question of what this does to competitive balance, or is it a luxury tax workaround, exists. But Bill Plaschke, you deferred all your points to saying this was going to happen to now. Now you get them.
Thank you.
Should the Dodgers be able to do this?
No.
Is this fair for the rest of baseball? And could Ohtani be the greatest at contracts as well?
I'm just so impressed. Has any player who ever said they want to win put their money where their mouth is like Ohtani just did? I mean, he's deferring his money until he's 50 years old. I'm so impressed that he could do this. And because he makes so much money off the field, he can do this. It's legal. It's fair. It's smart. And now the Dodgers have enough money $25 million extra now to go get a couple starting pitchers.
Israel Gutierrez, should this be fair?
I just want to see the face on the front office guys of the Dodgers when Ohtani's camp brought this up. Like, what? Are you serious? Because this is just the greatest advantage a team could possibly have. Not only could he potentially play in the field and at the plate, but he could also just cost you $2 million and you could just supplement so much more. It's unfair. You look at the rest of the league and say, hey, we're all going to have to be what? The Tampa Bay Rays to try to win this thing and try to overcome the Dodgers. But it does set this sort of, you know, the great villain right here in the Dodgers, and you've got a likable guy at the center of it, so it's tough. But yeah, I think it's perfectly taking advantage of the rules, and the rest of the league just has to shrug and say, what can we do?
Marcel Louis-Jacques?
Yes, the great Saint Shohei Ohtani deferring his $68 million a year payment until he can kick back out of the state of California and not have to pay crazy taxes on it. Yeah, it's team friendly, but don't get it twisted. Like, this still very much benefits Shohei Ohtani. Shout out to the Dodgers for essentially discovering a firm for MLB free agency. Just forget it. We'll pay it off later. But I don't think this is going to be the norm. This is something that a marketable star who just signed a $700 million contract can do, not just like the average Joe or the average replacement level player.
Understood. Bill Barnwell, is this bad for baseball?
I think it's bad for baseball players more than baseball teams. And I know for Shohei Ohtani, it's not going to make a difference because he has $50 million a year or more in incentives, or sorry, in terms of endorsement money that's going to supplement what he has that he's laying off. But if you're now a star player and you hit free agency, I know other players have deferred money, but now because of Ohtani, you're going to be asked to defer the vast majority of your money. Fans are going to be indignant if you're not taking your money, if you're not taking your money in the past, if you're taking your money up front. That, to me, is very frustrating and disappointing.
Does anybody think this is bad for baseball, though, for other teams' perspective, Plashke? No?
No, because I think most players aren't going to do this. You have to be able to. Ohtani is a unicorn in everything he does. No player makes.
Yes, I mean, is it bad for teams opposing the Dodgers for the next 10 years? Is this a workaround what is already in place, which is a luxury tax?
If the highest payroll team in baseball wins it every year or every other year, then I'd say yeah. But we see every year where the team that spends the most does not necessarily win it all, so we have to wait and see.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two. This is a Bill Plaschke buy or sell segment. You had this one as well. The Lakers announcing their in-season tournament will have a banner at their home arena. There was some debate over this. You remember Kobe Bryant famously said, we don't hang banners for anything other than championships. Well, here, the Lakers hanging the in-season tournament banner. Buy or sell, Bill?
I can't sell enough. No, no, no. Don't do it. You still have time to change your mind. Don't hang the banner. Like Kobe said, they hang banners for one thing and one thing only, NBA titles. Nobody in L.A. cheers this. It was seven games. You're going to hang a banner for seven games against a lot of teams that had losing records? No, it's ridiculous. Don't do it. No.
This surprises me. I thought you would just celebrate a champion in your city yet again.
Seven games. It's not a tournament.
Israel, buy or sell the Lakers hanging a banner here.
I'm buying it. Those banners are to share the history of the team with the fans. It doesn't say anything about the type of player wearing the jerseys, but the Lakers are going to say, no, you can't see our histories in the ceiling. You have to Google it. No, just show the darn trophy and show the darn banner and just move on. Who cares?
Marcel Lewis.
We show everything.
It's history. Like, I see nothing wrong with it. Like, memorialize the fact that you won the first one of these things. I'm not saying it has to be a thing every single time a team wins one from here on out, but it's the first year. It was a rousing success. Might as well celebrate it and just enjoy the nice things in life.
So that's two for hanging the banner, and Plaschke's the one saying the Lakers shouldn't. They should be above this. Bill Barnwell, to you.
Let's hang the banner up. There was a Taylor Swift banner hanging up in Staples or whatever
it was,
it's called
now.
Back in those quaint days when you could fit Taylor Swift fans in an arena as opposed to a stadium for multiple nights. If you can hang up a Taylor Swift banner, you can hang up a Lakers success with the in-season tournament banner. You can always bring it down a couple years from now when the Lakers are back competing for championships.
Tony, I wouldn't hang this banner in my garage. I wouldn't hang it in my house. Seven games. Who does a banner for seven games?
Bill Plaschke.
LA is a city of champions, not IST banners.
Did the Miami Heat hang a banner up for Michael Jordan? Was that for their fans, Israel?
Yes, technically. And Dan Marino, but hey, you know.
We'll let that be the final deduction here. Plasky, Gutierrez, showdown, next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Around the Horn is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Flashy Gutierrez, good luck in showdown. Justin Herbert out for the year. Needs surgery on his finger. The Chargers underwhelm again. What happens now, Flashy? Do you still believe in Herbert?
There's nothing about Justin Herbert that can't be fixed with a strong, powerful, offensive-minded coach. Look down. They're going to get a new coach next year. Look down the road. Maybe, I don't know, Lincoln Riley?
Oh, Plasky, hot take. There we go. Israel?
Yeah. There's definitely some doubt there. Through the first 3 years of their career, he and Tua were compared all the time, and everybody said Herbert was better and had more potential and didn't get hurt as often. Now what? Seems like Tua's doing pretty well and not getting hurt. Herbert is getting hurt. I'm sure a really good offensive coordinator would love to have him, but there are questions there.
It wasn't fair when Tua got compared to Herbert every time something happened 3 years ago. It's not fair to compare Herbert to Tua now. We'll move on.
Thank
Plasky
you.
Points. Showdown two. Sabres announcer Rob Gray. He's a tough guy. You know it from his career. You know it now. He took a puck to the face, bled, and continued on with the broadcast. Israel, how much credit does a sideline reporter deserve?
No credit at all, Tony. One time I was in Boston, I caught a basketball to the back of the head. Didn't even know what had happened, but I didn't flinch. I didn't miss a syllable. Ray made it all about himself here, getting medical attention. Oh, come on, that's unacceptable.
He made it about himself? What? Go ahead, Plasky.
The puck made it about him. Are you kidding me? Ray's a tough guy. As a player, he's been in 247 fights, including two in the preseason. This guy can fight. This guy can
handle right?
his pucks to the face. Good
Israel,
for him.
Israel, are you comparing a basketball that glanced off the side of your head with the vulcanized rubber of a hockey puck to the face?
Yes.
FaceTime, Plasky. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. So Riley Leonard is transferred from Duke to Notre Dame. That news came out today. There's over 1,000 players in the transfer portal, and people are going to start complaining. Don't complain. Look at the Heisman Trophy finishers. The top three, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, all were transfers. The transfer portal has changed young men's lives. It's changed the game forever. It's the best thing to have in college football in years. Celebrate it. Don't criticize it.
Thank you, Bill Patrick. I'm still getting tweets about this renaissance we're in with Tommy DeVito and Stellato, the agent, that they're leaning in too much. We lean in like the Tower in Pisa. We contain multitudes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.